Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney, and today I have my co-host.
Hi, I'm Shane Northrup.
And this is episode 11. Today we're going to talk about what's your main way of computing, your favorite cell phone apps, whether we're talking about iOS or Android, and we're going to get to know your hosts a little bit better. So let's start off is, what's your main way of computing? For me personally, I use iPhone, iPad, and, well, my personal computer, a desktop that I built. And what about my co-host?
So I mostly use a desktop that I built and my Android.
So do you prefer building computers or do you buy laptops? I mean, so what do you enjoy personally?
Personally, I like to build computers. It's a lot of fun, but laptops are a good way. Like, I didn't realize how tied down I was to my desktop until I switched over to desktops. And now I liked having the portability of a laptop, but I liked the power of the desktop.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I am. Like my desktop, I've got a Core i7, I'm running SLI, so video editing, audio editing, anything major and intensive, I use my desktop for. Web surfing these days, I actually primarily use my cell phone or my tablet, not something I ever thought I would end up doing. Mm-hmm. So what's your desktop operating system of choice? Now, I'm a big fan of Windows OS 10. I think it's now called Mac OS because I think they just renamed it at the WWDC. And I use a version of Linux called Ubuntu in a virtual environment so I can test certain things out. So what about yourself?
I'm partial to Windows 7. I'm not a big fan of Windows 10. Some of the changes really messed up my audio drivers on my PC, and I'm having trouble getting them back to normal. But as far as like video editing and stuff like that goes, I actually do enjoy Mac OS. It's a lot more streamlined for video.
Now, this is kind of a tangent, but what do you use for video editing?
Video editing? I use my desktop, but if I get a chance, my roommate has a Macintosh, and I will use that sometimes.
What program of choice?
Oh, Adobe Premiere Pro.
Okay, so we're both at least a Premiere Pro users. The other thing, as I mentioned, is a lot of video editors use anywhere between 1 to 3 screens. I'm a big fan of 2. I don't need 3. One of the reasons, at least from my experience, people will say, if you're wondering why you need 2 screens, is it's easy to have your folder on one side with all your information and the program on the other. So it helps you keep track of your workflow.
What I do is I have one screen for the setup and everything while I'm editing, like the editing screen, and then I have another screen set up for video. So just video playback, so I get the big picture and I can see everything in the frame. Editing with that little small window in one window can really throw you off because you might miss something, like somebody walks into the shot or, you know.
So you're talking more on, say, if you're doing a movie.
Yeah, movies, commercials, short films.
What I end up editing is people's podcasts, like video podcasts for specifically. And so with that, there's really not much, you know, not much you do. So pretty much you're just putting a, you know, like a top and a bottom on it, as it were. Mm-hmm. So are you a big fan of tablets?
Tablets, I do not play around with that very much. To me, like, tablets just kind of seem like technology that I don't really need.
Really? So any particular reason, or just doesn't fit within your lifestyle?
No. It just doesn't fit within my lifestyle. It's more of a toy.
I'm actually kind of guilty of that. Originally, what happened is I had the 4S. Now, if anybody actually knows the 4S, it's not only is it the slickest phone known to man far as being like a bar of soap, is it's tiny. It was horrible for surfing. So I bought an iPad specifically so I can sit on my couch, you know, I could read. Since I got the 6 Plus, I don't do that as much because who needs to use your iPad when you've got a phone that you almost need a purse to carry?
Right.
And so this interesting, there's a ton of new tablets coming out. I've actually got a list with me right there, which is called the best tablets for 2016. It's a tech radar post. And I figured at least we kind of go through like the top three, maybe four.
Okay.
Not shocking is number one is still the iPad, but this is the iPad Pro 9.7. I don't know a whole lot. I know on the show we talked about the iPad Pro a little bit. One of the best things about the iPad, in my opinion, is you get Apple's industrial design.
Right.
The best thing about Apple is the fact that they're a hardware company that also makes the OS. So what they do is they tweak their operating system to work perfectly for hardware that they spec. And pretty much if anybody did this, it worked best. Just like the way if you hear anybody say like a Google tablet, if they made one, would be the best.
They're very simple. Like the thing with Mac and Apple is it's very simple, very easy to learn, very easy to pick up. Sometimes with like Androids and Windows and even Google is kind of guilty of this. It can be a little bit too complicated.
Oh, no, totally. Like specifically, I know for the iPhone is they don't let you – there's not a lot of – as an insular, there's not a lot of minutia on the controls for it. Whereas Android, they allow you to do a lot more.
Right.
Specifically on side-loading app stores like the Amazon App Store.
Mm-hmm.
Apple would never trust anybody to do anything remotely like that in their universe.
Right.
They'd freak out. And the next one is, this is called the best Android tablet. This is the Google Pixel C, and this is using Android Marshmallow, which I think is the latest one.
I'm not sure.
That's either 5 or 6. I am really guilty of not keeping track on Android phones, or the Android operating system specifically. Now, they'll always tell you, like, the best Android experience you'll get would be with, like, the Android phone or, like, specifically there's a Google phone, Nexus?
Right.
Nexus is, like, the actual pure Google Android. They say you'll never get anything better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played with a Nexus phone? I've never seen one.
No, I haven't, but I've heard a little bit about them. I've heard that they're great, but I've never actually seen one in person.
So it's just kind of like Windows phones. You know, you've heard about them, but
right.
there's almost never see one in the wild.
Well, the thing with Windows phones is I've never heard anything good about them.
I've seen, in my travels, I've seen one or two, maybe three at the most, mm-hmm. Windows phones in the wild. And I always ask the same question. Why? And how do you like it? You know, and everybody's answer is like, well, it's a good phone. So you don't use apps.
And yeah, that sounds about right.
Because if anybody doesn't know, Windows Phone, I guess you could loosely call it the number three, but it's number three by a wide margin. I mean, it's practically a solar system in between number two or, you know, number one or two, which in debating, it's either Android or Apple and Android, as far as being in the one and two position. There's just no apps for it. Nobody really supports it. Even Microsoft, I think at this point, is starting to get away from the phones, realizing that they're better off having their software on iOS and Android.
Yeah. Well, and Microsoft's been doing some interesting things lately, so I'm kind of just curious to see what they're going to do next.
I think Satya Nadella? I think that's the CEO's name. I think when they switched from Ballmer, I think Steve Ballmer was pretty much, you know, they're going to make everything. They're going to be an Apple, an IBM. They're going to be Microsoft. I think Satya Nadella, he's basically making it back to what Bill Gates did was we're a software company.
Right.
Which I think for them is better. The other one is the Samsung Galaxy Tab S2. I love the Galaxy Tab products. One of the reasons being is they're some of the closest tablets I've seen that actually have the build quality of Apple.
Right. I've heard nothing but good things about those.
If you ever want a tablet like to never touch or, you know, say if you want to give your 5-year-old little kid, look up RCA tablets, specifically the Voyager 2. I got to warn you, though, it'll easily break within 6 months to a year. You want a tablet that'll be amazing, go for the Samsung Tab. I bought my wife the Tab 4, and it's an amazing tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And the number four spot, which is not surprising, is an iPad Mini 4. The Mini 4, I'm trying to decide, if you bought a tablet, you want the full size or the mini iPad?
I would probably want the full size, mostly because I just use it like a laptop.
So more or less like a convertible.
Yeah.
I was thinking, if I get a new one, I was thinking I'd probably get the iPad Mini 4, which unfortunately my phone is really close to in screen dimensions.
Right.
It's only maybe an inch on either side.
My thing is, and like I said, my knowledge on iPads and that sort of thing isn't that vast. But can they still play? Can they play Flash?
No,
that's my big problem with.
There are, and this is something what we'll talk about a little bit more in the next segment on about apps. Is there are ways around that, but nothing as eloquent as having it natively supported.
Right, and like that was. One of the biggest complaints that I've heard about tablets from people that I know who use them and buy them and enjoy them, a lot of people use them for like college and stuff like that. So it's they'll use them instead of a laptop and they'll use it to replace a laptop. And then they get mad because they can't play Flash videos.
I've seen a lot of people do that. And I'm always asked them, why didn't you buy a laptop? Because they spent, depending on the tablet you buy, anywhere from $300 to nearly $1,000.
Right.
That $1,000 you bought can buy an amazing laptop that's convertible.
You could build your own desktop for that.
Oh, easily.
A good one.
And if anybody out there doesn't know what we mean by convertible, and I guess I'm sorry for not explaining to what it is a little earlier, is pretty much what it is the screen will either flip around and fold down or just go all the way to the other side. And pretty much you can use your laptop as a tablet. And it's probably the best of both worlds when you're talking about a tablet-laptop combination because it allows you to do both, and you have a full operating system, which you really don't get with Android or iOS. And we're going to take a break, and coming up, we're going to be talking about our favorite Android, or in my case, iOS apps.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Now, when we're talking about apps, they're basically small applications on your cell phone, as you probably all obviously know, but I figured I'd give you a little tip. Now, my number one favorite app on iOS is called iNet. Pretty much, it's more or less a network admin tool. It allows you to scan the network to see who's on it. It allows you to check out their MAC address, their IP address. This is the closest you're going to get to a full suite of admin apps for iOS. Hmm. The only thing that would improve it is if you actually had a way to scan Wi-Fi to see what network is on what channel.
Right.
This is great. I mean, I actually use it for my personal network, my parents' networks, and my friends' network to say, for example, a friend decides something's wrong with his computer, so I got to find out a collision detection on IP. So I can scan that and say, okay, computer A and computer B have competing IP addresses.
That's awesome.
It works great. I mean, I literally use it all the time. I've done it's actually one of my favorite things is going on friends' networks and scanning their scanning everything and going, hey, do you know your kid's on the computer? It's like, what? How do you tell? It's right here.
Yeah.
You can also do ping, and if you're remotely a network admin and have iOS, you got to check it out. It's an absolutely amazing app. And the other one I use, not as much, but it's important to me, is called File Browser. Now, this is one of the few apps I've found in iOS that actually lets me view a network from a phone. Now, I use this in conjunction with iNet. So pretty much what I'll do is I'll scan it, I'll find the main network IP, I'll type that in the file browser, and then I can view the computers or whatnot. Hmm. And it works really well for, say, NAS drives, remote computers, shared files. I'm a big time fan of old-time radio, like Tales of the Texas Rangers, Dragnet, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so on my router specifically, I have a portable hard drive detected to it. So this allows me to log into that and then play it, you know, using my headphone jack or use Chromecast audio type of thing.
That's cool.
And the other one, and this is something, my next app is everybody should have. I don't care if you're a geek or not. You have to have speed test. What speed test basically does is it tests the speed of your internet connection. If you're having, if your computer's, if it's a slow connection, this is what you need. It's number one in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've used speed test before.
And it's speedtest.net is the actual website. And there's a handful of out there. Comcast has their own version. Matter of fact, they're all built. All these apps are built by the same company.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you? Do you have any favorite utilities out there that you use?
Well, one of the things you have to do when you get an Android is you have to download a flashlight app.
So it doesn't have it built in like iOS.
I think maybe some of the better models do, but every Android phone that I've ever owned, I needed to download a flashlight app because
now,
it didn't come with one.
Does this use the actual flash for the camera, or is this just making a white, bright screen?
No, it uses the flashlight on the camera. It's just that they don't have like a utility or an app built into the phone for that. Sometimes too, like I mean, I've owned a couple Androids where they didn't have – so they have the camera and everything set up, but they don't actually have – an app on your phone for the camera. You have to download a camera app in order to use your camera, which is it's kind of weird. It's a lot more with like I've had that problem with LG, and I've had that problem with like some of the more lower end Androids.
True, you're not going to get that with Samsung because they include random things like how's your golf swing.
Yeah, Samsung has a lot of apps that
bloatware.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anybody out there doesn't know what bloatware is, basically it's unneeded, unwanted, or unused apps on your phone that you can never get rid of, and or it would take a ridiculous amount of time to get rid of it.
Samsung is notorious for that. I owned a Samsung Galaxy Victory back when those first came out, and it came with so many apps that I just didn't need. I had to get rid of them all. Another app that I like is it's called Sandbox, and it's basically just a little toy that I have on my computer. It is just what it sounds like. It's a sandbox. You have all these little things. You can draw bricks in there, and you can put in sand and water and plants. And
so it's kind of like a Zen garden for your phone.
Except it has nitroglycerin, gunpowder, fireworks. So I like to build things and blow them up.
After the show, we're going to have to see if that's available for my phone.
Yeah, it's on the Google Play store. So I don't know if it works for iOS, but I know it works for Android, and I'll watch TV and just play with that.
That's awesome. It's a little bit of a tangent, but there's a Windows program called BlueStacks.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to use Android apps on your Windows computer, and I'm going to be doing that when I get home today.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. My favorite app of all time is, though, because I am a part of the PC Master Race and I use Steam for all of my gaming, I love the Steam app. And I know a lot of people are kind of getting mad that Steam has started to do this thing where you have to have Steam on your phone in order to it'll send you email messages to make sure that what you're doing in your items list is legit, because you can sell and buy items from the store and stuff like that on Steam.
Now, are you selling the games you buy?
No, it's trading cards. Steam implemented trading cards like a while ago. Backgrounds for your Steam.
Interesting.
Little emoticons.
Does this work as a second factor authenticator?
Yes. That is exactly what it is.
If anybody out there doesn't know what the second factor is, pretty much say if you have Gmail and you log into your Gmail, what it does is it would send a message to your phone saying, somebody's trying to log in. Is it you? You hit yes, and then it would send like a number, like, you know, 1234 ABC, and you type that in, and it would allow you access to your Gmail account. Basically, it's a way to make sure that it's you and not some script kiddie or just bored person logging into your personal email account.
And, you know, I know a lot of people are kind of like upset with that kind of thing, but it is very important for Steam, because I have my credit card information on there because you're buying games. I mean, people can go into your marketplace and start buying like skins for weapons for games and stuff like that without your say so, and it can really screw you up. And Steam does a really good job about security.
I would, if you don't mind, just one second. I would add, if you have a bank, I would say do second factor. If you have Xbox Live, PlayStation, I recommend doing it. anything to meet you that's mission critical, look at doing it. Now, granted, it is annoying, but I promise you that it will save you, and it's worth it for a little bit of annoyance to make sure that you don't lose your account.
And you'll sleep better at night.
Exactly. Like for me personally, my Xbox Live account I've had for 12 or 13 years, almost since day one. Mm-hmm. And my account is so old, there's a space in my name.
Right. You mentioned that.
And I would be very upset if I lost that just because, like, it sounds weird, but I put a lot of work into that account.
Yeah. Well, and for Steam, for me, like, I'm like level 26 or level 27. Like,
for the card game?
It's so basically you get like badges based on what you do. So you get cards and you craft them into a badge.
Hmm.
And then that gives you a little bit of points to your level. And not just that, but like the years that you've been there, how many games you own, whether or not you participate in the community.
Does the points give you anything when you buy games, or is it basically just like, hey, look at me?
It's just status.
Hey, that's cool. I actually think that's pretty neat.
I like it. It's a really cool setup. But the thing that I like the most about the Steam app right now, and I just found this out like a month ago, you can, when you buy a game on the Steam app, you can install it from your phone to your computer. So if I have my computer on and I have the Steam app open and say I'm, you know, at a train station or, you know, in a meeting or something and I buy a game, I can install it so that way when I get home, I can play it.
That's awesome. Oh, you just reminded me. Another cool thing about Steam is you can pre-download games. Say if there's this amazing game you want,
yes,
you can buy it and install it like even a week beforehand, and at like 12:01 a.m. release day, you can hop on it. It saves you from waiting in line in GameStop.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing. You can I always wondered like why would you ever pre-order anything on Steam, but it's for that exact reason. It'll download the second you.
I think you have to be a big fan of the gaming lifestyle. I think that's the only way that you would really like do that.
Right. Well, and there's something to be said about buying a game when it first comes out and discovering everything with the rest of your community and talking about it with the community and, you know, spoiler free, you know, because once a game comes out and it's been out for a couple months, you're going to get spoiled.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
For me personally, that was the first Halo on the Xbox, the original one. My friends and I found glitches that literally weren't listed for at least a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, and I did that.
The first game was crazy glitchy. It was one of the reasons it's near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm. I did that for Metal Gear 5. And so when they started putting in multiplayer and the versus mode and, you know, being able to sneak onto people's bases and steal their people and shit.
Nice.
I got to play that when that first came out. Like, I remember when they finally updated it, I hopped on my computer and started playing, and I went and stole some people from somebody's base. And for like a split second, I was ranked number one in Metal Gear 5 for PC, and then everybody came and attacked me and took all my people.
That's awesome. That's actually pretty funny. We're going to do one more app, and everybody digs music. My favorite music app, and I've mentioned this before, is actually Pandora.
I have to agree with you.
And what do you like about it? Because my favorite thing is the fact that you'll put in your musician of choice. Say you're really into Dobie Gray. He's a guy who did the song Drift Away. It's one of my favorite songs. You do that, and you'll get everybody who's somehow even remotely close to it, even though I've had random – I'll put in like Metallica, and randomly I'll get like Earth, Wind, and Fire. So some things I'm not quite sure how it connects, but I love the
I really like discovering new music on Pandora. And one of the things,
I'm with you on that one.
One of the things that like I used to do growing up was I would go and find a band that I liked on YouTube, and then just go down the rabbit hole and finding more and more bands similar. Well, with Pandora, I don't have to do that. It just plays. So I listen to some really weird folk metal, and I listen to a lot of punk, and there are a lot of punk bands that I don't know about, and it does a really good job connecting me to them, you know. The only problem I have with Pandora is sometimes they play the same song. Once you like a song, they will play it over and over and over again.
Yeah, they kind of kill your favorite song, just like the radio did, matter of fact.
They also... I've had a couple times where I'm listening to a punk station and all of a sudden Modest Mouse will start playing, and I'm like, Yeah, I like that on a different station, but don't play Modest Mouse on my punk station. I want to.
Weren't they considered punk at one time?
Were they? I always consider them as folk.
I don't know. I remember somebody saying they're a punk, and I was thinking, But on the other hand, somebody told me Kenny G was jazz. So there's varying degrees of like,
Yeah.
So we're going to go to break. And when we come back to break, you're going to find out just a little bit more of your favorite host.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
So this is kind of a little bit of a segment I figured, get to know us a little bit more. So the first question is, what's your favorite gadget or what is something you've always wanted? I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
Probably my favorite gadget I have now, I'd have to say my iPhone, because it's the one I use the most. And when I was a kid, you had like the Motorola brick. The cell phones were the size of car batteries.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so it's just an amazing thing, the fact that I've got a computer in my hand, which, by the way, has more memory and is faster than the first computer I ever owned, which was like a 386.
Wow.
thank you for making me feel old.
Yeah, the first computer I ever owned was a Windows 98, maybe a 95.
Mine was, first operating system was probably Windows for Workgroups 3.11. Mm-hmm. And something I've always wanted, I really want a Pico projector. Solely because of the fact I want to mount it on the wall and show it above my bed.
Nice.
That is something I've always wanted to do. And Pico projectors are miniature projectors, and the price is miniature, usually.
They're not too expensive.
And they're starting to come in with a resolution that I'm acceptable with. The first couple of ones I looked at originally were 800 by 600, and I need something that's at least near full HD, which you get close to now.
I can't do standard definition anymore.
I watch a lot of YouTube comment. That doesn't bug me, but if I want to watch full HD, I want something at least gets close.
Right.
That's kind of my thing.
Well, for movies and stuff like that, I mean, I can't even believe – one of my favorite movies is The Road Warrior, and I had always watched it on VHS, and it looks muddy and gritty, and I thought that, they didn't have much of a budget. Well, I watched it on Blu-ray for the first time like a year ago, and I was like, oh, my God, the cinematography is amazing. And
they still didn't have much of a budget.
They didn't have much of a budget, but, like, the cinematography is amazing. And I never got to experience that before because I didn't have it in HD.
One other problem, I don't know if anybody out there actually knows how VHS tape works. What it does is you pretty much got two heads with a tape stretched between it.
Yeah.
And over time and constant watching and even air getting to it, the film starts degrading.
Well, it's like magnets.
Yeah.
It's like held there with like a magnetic, It's weird.
Yeah, exactly. So it stretches, it gets destroyed. One of the reasons why you hear in the news probably the last 10 years about preserving old film, because a lot of the early silent film pictures are gone.
Yeah. There's so much. Well, the thing with this is a little bit of a tangent, but once film stock got switched to VHS, there was a lot of stuff that moved over, but a lot of stuff got left behind and burned and forgotten about. And then when we switched to DVD, even less stuff got moved over. And now that Blu-ray exists, like we just don't have hard physical copies of things anymore.
And I want everybody to do me a favor. If you, your mom, dad, or girlfriend have a bunch of VHS tapes, I want you to go through it and take a look, because there's at least some in your collection that will never be seen again on DVD.
Yep.
And it sounds weird. Specifically one movie, and depending on your age, you might not know this movie. It's called Songs of the South. It's actually by Disney. It's actually what Splash Mountain is from, more or less. And this is a movie that Disney has promised it will never re-release. Now, it's been released worldwide. The last time major theatrical release was in the 80s, and there's laser discs and stuff. And if you find an actual copy, whether it's PAL or NTSC, PAL's the European format, it's worth hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to the right people. And it sounds kind of stupid for a movie that was made in the 40s or 50s, but it's because it's so rare. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go through your collection, and if there's a movie that you don't watch, put it on an eBay. There's got to be somebody like me who's a movie nut, who's paid ridiculous amounts of money for movies, that would want your movie.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite gadget?
We were talking a little bit before about wash machines and how, like, not having a wash machine can be a bit of a so I live in an apartment complex where I don't have a wash machine. I have to go to the little laundromat thing that they have set up for the people that live there, and it is a pain. So I never thought that I would miss having a laundry machine. I never thought that that would be something that I'd want, and now I know better.
And to quote my favorite cartoon of the 80s, knowing is half the battle.
Yeah. Well, I think personally I would want to get my hands on a Red.
Oh, yes. That would be amazing. Explain what a Red is.
A Red is a it's basically the best digital camera you can get your hands on.
I think if originally it was was the cheapest 4K camera made, and cheap but not bad. Like at the time it was made, I remember reading, because it was by the guy who made Oakley, who's an optical nut. So originally it was the cheapest 4K camera, but it was also like the best. Like the Hobbit movies were filmed with two Red cameras.
If I remember correctly. Filmmaker David Fincher. David Fincher only uses Reds. That's ever since the Red. I don't know if it's ever since the Red came out, but as of now, like, that's the only thing he touches. He's got like a custom made Red.
I could see it. You know, once it's proven, no filmmaker, well, most filmmakers don't jump head over heels into something without having some sort of track record.
Right. Well, that, and there's the Arri Alexa, which is supposed to be up there as well. I've never used an Arri Alexa, but like, I've got to play around a little bit with a Red, and the dynamic range is amazing. Like, so basically you need a lot of lights when you do film stuff in order for things to look good. With the Red, the dynamic range is so good. So basically you can shoot like with minimal lighting and it'll look good.
I wonder if The Revenant was filmed with a Red. The only reason I ask that is the fact that if you watch the movie, there's not a lot of fake lighting. A lot of it is natural.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of scenes.
Made to look natural.
Which is still not easy to do.
No.
That well. And the other question I have for you and me is, what do you think of green technology, and are you an earlier adopter or a late adopter of the game? I'm a fan of green technology, but I have a caveat, is it has to be easy to use or something I'll use in daily life that won't be ridiculous. Like, for example, alternative fuels. For a while, you actually had to make your own fuel. That wouldn't be never something I would do. But if it was available, say like E86 or some of the other ones that I could go to the store, I would totally do, because, you know, there's being green for the environment. It's not less to me a political thing. I do think it's good to do, but it has to be convenient.
Right. Well, and I like the idea about moving things forward. You know, I don't like being stuck in one place for a really long time. And I know a lot of people's fears are the reason that they don't want to move forward in technology. As far as being like late in the game or buying technology when it first comes out, I usually wait a little bit before I jump on board with something, because I want to see all the flaws and everything before I get it. You know, I don't want to be one of the people discovering that my item doesn't work.
The only thing I was an early adopter to is I was given the very first Kindle. Mm. And it's the only Kindle that has an expansion slot and a full keyboard. And it has the world's most annoying button placement. So if you're reading your Kindle with one hand, you're constantly moving forward and back. But nobody really needs to know that. So we're coming up to the end of our show. And I want y'all to do me a favor. I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com and take a look at our podcast. We have an amazing selection of podcasts for your infotainment. We have entertainment, television show, MMA, movies. We have a ton. I want you to check it out. Before you do that, I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com. Go to the Technology Podcast and subscribe. We're available anywhere and everywhere on the interwebs. The other thing I want you to go is go to Facebook. type in GSMC Technology Podcast in the search bar, find this episode, and I want you to comment on that episode. Is there anything that you think we're wrong, we're right, or do you have something you think that we need to know about so we can talk about in the next show? And this is Jonathan Charney
and Shane Northrup.
We want to thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.